Welcome to Hot Topics on GraceNetRadio.com. Hot Topics is a ministry of gospel on the go from Croatia with the U.S. support team at Lighthouse of Life Church in South Florida. Each week, join Dr. Andrew Vuksic and his guests in Croatia as they discuss the hot topics of the day dealing with theology, culture, and more, all relevant to Christians worldwide. The opinions expressed on the program are those of the hosts and guests and not necessarily those of GraceNet Radio. Now from Croatia, your host of Hot Topics, Andrew Vuksic on GraceNetRadio.com.
Hello, hello, everybody, and welcome to Hot Topics, where today we will be doing part two of our two-part series discussing this flaming hot topic, Calvinism versus Arminianism. Now, if you were with us on the last show, you will recall that we basically did kind of a historical view of really where this idea of Calvinism and Arminianism came from. We saw that John Calvin, he wasn't even alive when this term Calvinism was coined. It was actually, and we're going to learn more about that today, the term Calvinism came about primarily years later after Calvin was dead, where his followers came up with a response to the 5 points of Arminianism. Where does Arminianism thing come from? Well, Jacob Arminius was a gentleman who actually had studied theology at Calvin's College in Geneva. After he had graduated, he left, went to Amsterdam, and 2 years later, he started to argue with some of Calvin's teachings, some things he had learned at the college, such as the fact that God is completely sovereign when it comes to our salvation. See, John Calvin was a man who preached God's sovereignty. John Calvin was a man who lived with the perspective of God's sovereignty. God's sovereignty very simply means God knows the end from the beginning. God is in full control. God is all powerful. He is everywhere present. He is all knowing. He's the Alpha, the Omega. That which he has foreordained will come to pass. That's what John Calvin taught. Actually, that's what the early church fathers taught. Actually, that's what the apostles taught. Actually, that's what Jesus Christ taught. Actually, that's what the entire Bible teaches, that God is sovereign and in full control. Well, Jacob Arminius, he didn't come out and deny God's sovereignty. He just put a bit of a twist on it. He elevated man's free will. He said, man, when it comes to salvation, has free will. And as a result, Arminius, who also had died, his followers eventually came up with what was called the 5 points of Arminianism. Again, named after Jacob Arminius, who had been a student in Calvin's college, who along with Calvin was already dead. So the followers of Jacob Arminius in 1610 came up with their 5 points. Well, 8 to 9 years later, there was a council called. It was called the Synod of Dort, where a bunch of theologians got together, including the followers of Jacob Arminius and the followers of John Calvin, who had long been dead. And they basically said, okay, are these 5 points of Arminianism biblically accurate, biblically correct? Well, at that Synod of Dort, the 5 points of Arminianism were soundly rejected, saying that they were not accurate biblically. And the followers of Calvin were then asked to come up with 5 points to refute the 5 points of Arminianism. Those 5 points they came up with were eventually called the 5 points of Calvinism. So that's a brief historical view as to this idea of Calvinism and Arminianism. And again, I want to make this point abundantly clear. When the 5 points of Calvinism came out, John Calvin was already dead. Again, when the 5 points of Arminianism were started and came out, Jacob Arminius was already dead. So, you know, a lot of people, when they hear Calvin or Calvinism, a lot of Christians get this negative view, like, well, he was some sort of theological ogre that, you know, basically pounded people into submission, made humans feel like robots, and basically he taught heresy and this, that, and the other thing. Nothing could be further from the truth. John Calvin was an incredible, godly man, a pastor who pastored a church in Geneva. It was a man who started an incredible, an academy for preachers, a Bible college there in Geneva. It was a man whose ministry made a massive impact during the time of the Reformation. Mind who was a man who was a brilliant scholar, an incredible preacher, who taught straight from the original languages of Hebrew and Greek. This guy was amazing, and yet he gets a bad rap. I hear Christians all the time say, well, you're a Calvinist. Okay, what does that mean? It's almost like, you know, they look at you like you have the mark of the beast on you or something like that. And again, as I said on the last show, Dayon, who's the producer of this show, right now staring at me with the headsets. Dayon was one of those guys years back when he heard the term Calvinism or Calvinist. He immediately thought, well, these are people of the Antichrist. Nothing could be further from the truth. And don't worry, guys. I got Dayon straightened out. He's fine now. Listen, John Calvinist wasn't a Calvinist. John Calvinist wasn't a follower of Calvinism. He was already dead. In fact, John Calvin was one of the most humble, most, he preached God's sovereignty. He didn't even want to know people to know where he was buried. All he wanted to do was exalt Christ. And Jacob Arminius, who became a student at Calvin's College there in Switzerland, in Geneva, he too was a humble man, well-liked by his professors there at Calvin's school. In fact, Theodore Beza, who was the dean of theology there at the college, had great words to say about Jacob Arminius. Again, as I said on our last show, I'm not sure if Calvin and Jacob Arminius actually ever met. John Calvin had died in the mid-1500s, 1560s. I'm not sure that he would have known Jacob Arminius, who eventually attended his school. Again, I didn't do enough research on that to be able to know. However, we do know Arminius went to Calvin's College there in Geneva. We know that he was a good student. We know that he left that college, went to Amsterdam, and wanted to be a pastor. What happened 2 years after he graduated from Calvin's College there in Geneva? Who knows? I mean, he just started to elevate human free will over God's sovereignty. Again, I'm not sure he ever came out and openly rejected God's sovereignty. I do not believe he did. However, he softened his stance, or the biblical stance, when it comes to God's sovereignty. And friends, that always happens. When you start to elevate man, man's mind, man's reason, man's free will, again, think of a seesaw. The part of the seesaw that goes highest in the air, let's say that's man's free will, man's abilities, man's mind, man's reason, man's strength. When you elevate man on that seesaw, what happens to the other side of the seesaw? It goes down to the ground. If you've got God's sovereignty on one side of the seesaw and you've got human free will on the other side of the seesaw, if you elevate human free will, what happens to God's sovereignty? It goes down to the ground. Well, that's what Jacob Arminius and his followers started to do. They started to elevate man. They started to elevate man's free will, especially when it came to this idea of soteriology or salvation. The 5 points of Arminianism that were introduced in 1610 by the followers of Jacob Arminius, here are the 5 points. Number one, in terms of salvation, man's free will can make the choice of wanting to be saved. Number two, they said, well, we do believe in what's called predestination, because you cannot get around it in Scripture. It's right there, very clear. But what they said was, is that God's predestination, he predestined or elects people based on a condition. They called that conditional election. They said that God, yes, made the choice before the foundation of time to save you, Christian. That's because God had looked down the corridors of time and saw that you would turn around and choose him. And as a result, God, before the foundation of time, said, okay, I'll choose you. That's called conditional election. It was God elected, chose you based on a condition. That condition was that a human would exercise his or her free will and choose God. And God knew that and saw that, and that's why God made the choice of you. That's the second of the 5 points of Arminianism. The third point is what's called universal or unconditional atonement, meaning that Jesus Christ died for every human being. Now, they didn't say that every human being is saved. They simply said that Jesus died for every human being. And that by doing that, Jesus provided the potential for people to be actually saved through his atonement. But the people had to make the choice to believe on Jesus in order for Jesus's death to actually be applied to their account. Again, do you see human free will? The fourth point of Arminianism was that as humans, you have the ability to resist God's drawing grace, God's grace working in your life in bringing you to God the Son. Again, elevating humans to be able to say, you know what, God, I know you're trying to bring me to your Son, but you know what? Thanks, but no thanks. You have the ability to resist grace. And then the fifth point of Arminianism is that as a human, you have the ability to actually fall from saving grace, lose your salvation. And so as you can see in these 5 points of Arminianism, all 5 points elevate human free will. The seesaw has human free will. That part of the seesaw is up in the air. The unfortunate reality is, what happens to God's sovereignty? As you can see, that part of the seesaw is down on the ground. That is what Arminianism teaches. And you maybe didn't know this, but you may be actually part of a church or denomination that follows the teachings or the 5 points of Arminianism. And you need to listen very carefully to the sermons that are being preached. You can go up on the websites of your church or the denomination and find out. I will say this, charismatics, many Baptists, even Lutherans today, even though Martin Luther didn't believe in the five points of Arminianism weren't out during Luther's time, but he would have never agreed to that. Methodists, they're Arminians. So Free Church, a lot of these non-denominational churches follow the 5 points of Arminianism. They may not come out and openly state that, but as you look at their what they preach and teach, you look at their doctrinal statements, they are Arminianists. You know what they do? They elevate man's human free will at the expense of God's divine sovereignty. More on that after the break.
You're listening to Hot Topics with Dr. Andrew Vuksic from his church location in Croatia. Hot Topics is a ministry of gospel on the go with a support team at Lighthouse of Life Church in South Florida, where each week Andrew gives the Word of God via live webcast. For more information about service times and directions to Lighthouse of Life Church in South Florida, please find a link to their site at gracenetradio.com. And now, back to Hot Topics. Here again is Dr. Andrew Vuksic.
Hello, hello, everybody, and welcome back to Hot Topics, where today we are on our second of two-part series, where we're discussing this hot topic, Calvinism versus Arminianism. If you were with us on the first part of this show, we went over the 5 points of Arminianism. I gave a brief historical background of how both Calvinism and Arminianism came into being. We then took a look at the 5 points of Arminianism. And as we close the first part of the show, I challenge you to go and check on the church you attend, the denomination that you're part of, and really find out what is their view when it comes to human free will versus God's divine sovereignty. Because the 5 points of Arminianism exalt human free will at the expense of God's divine sovereignty. Again, you think of the seesaw. If you raise human free will up in the air, what goes down to the ground? Which part of the seesaw? God's divine sovereignty. That is what the 5 points of Arminianism do. They elevate human free will, especially when it comes to this area of soteriology, i.e. salvation. Now, what we're going to do on this part of the show is we're going to take a look at the 5 points of Calvinism. Again, these 5 points of Calvinism were not, they did not come from John Calvin. He was already dead at this point. These 5 points of Calvinism were not something that the followers of Calvin decided to just write up and start to cause controversy throughout Europe. No, the 5 points of Calvinism came as a response from the decision at the Synod of Dort, 1618-1619, where the 5 points of Arminianism were soundly rejected. So the 5 points of Calvinism, again, the followers of Calvin were asked to come up with these 5 points to counter the teachings of the 5 points of Arminianism that came from the followers of Jacob Arminius. So what are the 5 points of Calvinism? Well, theologians made it pretty easy to understand. They use this beautiful one word that helps a person remember the 5 points of Calvinism. That one word, TULIP. T, total depravity. U, unconditional election. L, limited atonement. I, irresistible grace. P, perseverance or preservation of the saints. Now let me explain those two, okay? And what I'll do is I'll explain each one, each letter, T-U-L-I-P, and compare it to each point of the 5 points of Arminianism. Now, the first point, in which is the main point of the 5 points of Calvinism, is T, total depravity. This is in contrast to the first point of Arminianism, human free will. Again, if you recall, the Arminianists said that humans, even though we come into this world with a sin nature, that sin nature does not cause us to be dead in our relationship with God, disconnected from God, but causes us to be sick. And therefore, we as humans can exercise our free will to somehow limp and crawl and make our way through our human effort and free will to come to Jesus. That's the first point of Arminianism, human free will in terms of salvation. The first point of Calvinism says, no, we are totally depraved. That sin nature that we inherited from Adam and Eve, that sin nature that we're born with, causes us not to be sick, but rather to be dead. And therefore, that sin nature completely corrupts us to the point that we would not choose God. We cannot choose God. We want nothing to do with God. All we will do is sin against God. That's the first point of Calvinism, total depravity. And again, biblically, that first point is very easy to see in scriptures. Romans chapter 3, God makes it very clear. There is no one who is righteous in God's eyes. There is no one who does good according to God's standards. And there is no one, God says, who will ever choose God from his or her free will. Why? Ephesians chapter 2, Paul says, we are dead to God because we have a sin nature. Romans 9, Paul says, salvation does not depend, Romans 9:16, on man's effort or man's desire, but on God's mercy. Why? Because of the first point of Calvinism, T, total depravity, which absolutely makes sense biblically. And when you compare it to the first point of Arminianism, human free will, that regardless of the fact that we have a sin nature, we can desire our way, we can effort our way to go to Jesus and trust in him. Whoa, that's nowhere in scripture. Let's go to the second point of Calvinism. Unconditional election. In contrast to the second point of Arminianism, which is conditional election. If you recall, Arminians say, okay, we believe in predestination, that God does choose people, elect them before the foundation of time. Again, you can't get around that. It's all throughout scripture. But here's what they say. God makes his made his choice before the foundation of time to choose you, Christian, based on a condition. What was that condition? That God looked down the corridors of time and knew that you would turn around and choose him. And therefore, God elected you. That's what the second point of Arminianism is. Again, elevating human free will. The second point of Calvinism says, no. Yes, God does predestine. Yes, God does elect. But it's unconditional. God chooses you before the foundation of time, not because he saw any good in you, and certainly not because he thought that you would turn around and choose him, because Romans chapter 8 is very clear on that. Verses 7 and 8, that says, those who are in the realm of the flesh, i.e. those who are born with a sin nature, who don't have the Holy Spirit in them, a person like that is hostile to God, does not submit to God's law, nor can that person do so. Person like that, verse 8 says, cannot please God. So there's no way that God chooses somebody based on the condition that he looks down the corridors of time and says, well, I know that Dayon is going to choose me. Well, first of all, when Dayon was a non-believer, he could not choose God because he would not submit to God's law, nor could he do so. He couldn't please God. Why? Because he was living in the flesh, the realm of the sin nature. So again, Scripture blows away the second point of Arminianism, elevates human free will. The second point of Calvinism says God does choose you. God chose Dayon before the foundation of time, but it was an unconditional choice. There were no strings attached. God chose Dayon because of God's love, in spite of Dayon. That's the second point of Calvin. Do you see God's sovereignty? Do you see how there's no human free will in this thing? Third point of Calvinism, limited atonement, as opposed to the third point of Arminianism, unlimited atonement or universal atonement. The Arminians say that Jesus died for everybody, universally, unlimited. But they also admit that not everybody is saved. Some people go to hell. Many people go to hell. Well, wait a second. If Christ died for everybody, how do people go to hell? They said, no. Here's what happened. Christ's death provided potential atonement, not actual atonement. It's like Christ died for everybody, thus opening the door of potential for people to choose Christ. You see how human free will is elevated? Well, there's a problem with that. According to the Arminianists, Christ's death was not an actual atonement. It was potential. What? That goes completely contrary to Scripture. The Bible says, 1 Peter chapter 1, that you were redeemed, bought at a price, the precious blood of Jesus Christ. No. His atonement was actual, not potential. It was actual. For whom? Well, it was limited. Matthew 1:21, Jesus will save his people from their sins. John chapter 10, Jesus said, I give my life for the sheep, my sheep. Matthew 25, on judgment day, you're going to have sheep, those who were saved, and goats, those who were not. Jesus died for his sheep, Ephesians 5, for the church, the bride of Christ. So again, Arminians say, no, Jesus' atonement was universal. It provided potential for people to be saved, but people had to exercise it so that that atonement would be applied to their account. Wait a second. No. Calvinists say, third point, no. Christ's atonement was limited. It was for the chosen, and it was an actual atonement. Now, listen to me. That's not saying Christ's death was certainly sufficient for every soul that ever lived. However, it was applied only to the elect. Again, God's sovereignty. Fourth point of Calvinism, irresistible grace. Those who have been chosen by God before the foundation of time, those who were redeemed by Christ 2,000 years ago, are being drawn by the Holy Spirit, will be regenerated by the Holy Spirit, and it is irresistible grace. Once the Holy Spirit regenerates you, opens your eyes, gives you the gift of faith, you're not going to say no to Christ. You're going to repent of your sins and trust in Christ. That grace is irresistible. Where Arminians say, no, you can resist that grace. You can actually, you're stronger to say no to God than his love is to say, I want you. You see again how you elevate free will, man's human free will? No. Those who have been chosen by the Father, those who have been redeemed by the Son, will be regenerated by the Holy Spirit, made alive. be given the gift of faith, to repent of their sins, to place their faith and trust in Jesus Christ, to confess, I want Jesus as my Lord and Savior. Have mercy on me, a sinner. To be able to confess with their mouth, Romans 10, and believe in the heart that God raised Jesus from the dead. Arminians say, well, yeah, you can kind of say, you can say no to God, even though he gives you every opportunity. What? You see, again, it elevates human free will. Fifth point of Calvinism, perseverance of the saints, preservation of the saints. Those who have been chosen by the Father, those who have been redeemed by the Son, those who have been regenerated and sealed by God the Holy Spirit cannot lose their salvation. Again, Philippians 1:6, God who started a work in you will bring it to completion. Okay? You didn't choose your salvation. You can't lose your salvation. It's called the preservation or perseverance of the saints. Doesn't mean you won't stumble. Doesn't mean you won't sin. But those who have been chosen will not lose their salvation. What did Jesus say in John 10? I know my sheep hear my voice, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and no one or nothing can snatch them out of my hand. You can't lose your salvation. But the Arminians say you can fall from grace. You can lose your salvation. That's why you look at all these altar calls, and you see people flooding up there week in and week out. Many of the same people, people who had professed faith in Christ 1,000 times, because they think during the week they lost their salvation. That's a wonderful way to live. Jesus said in Luke chapter 10, rejoice that your name is written in the book of life. Well, wait a second. These Arminians act like their name was written with pencil. They can be erased at any time. No, your name is written in the book of life, Christian, with the precious blood of Jesus Christ, and it cannot be blotted out. So, 5 points of Calvinism. In response to the rejected at the Synod of Dort, 5 points of Arminianism. 5 points of Arminianism, they're simply based on human free will. The seesaws. Right up there in the air, human free will, and God's sovereignty is on the ground. Calvinism, on the other hand, God's sovereignty is elevated up in the air. Human free will is on the ground. Christian, you're chosen, not because of you, but in spite of you. It is all because of God's grace, and therefore it's all for God's glory. Amen?
This has been Hot Topics with Dr. Andrew Vuksic. The views and opinions were those of the hosts and guests, and not necessarily those of GraceNet Radio or any of its staff, management, or affiliations. You can email Pastor Vuksic directly at pastorandrew@aol.com. Join us Sundays at 9 a.m. and 3 p.m. Eastern Time in the USA, or 3 p.m. and 9 p.m. in Croatia for Hot Topics, only on GraceNetRadio.com.